Right before he dies, Yaakov wants to reveal the secret of the end of days to his children, but Hashem prevents him from doing that and removes the divine presence from Yaakov. Yaakov, aware that Hashem has removed his presence, is fearful that perhaps there's something wrong with his children. Maybe his children are not as pure and as religious as he thought. However, his children reassure him by declaring in unison, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Chazal tell us that in response to this declaration of faith by the sons, Yaakov responds, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Yolam Ved. May the name of God be and his kingdom be everlasting and honorable forever and ever. This statement, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Yolam Ved, in Hebrew, is translated in Aramaic as the familiar refrain, Yehe Shmei Rabba Mevorach Leolam Omeil Maya. May God's name be blessed and forever and ever and ever. Yehe Shmei Rabba and Baruch Shem are in fact the exact same thing, one in Hebrew and in Aramaic. And therefore, in a sense, we have a reference or a hint to the Kaddish, Yehe Shmei Rabba, actually in our Parsha. In fact, even though there is a larger body of the Kaddish, as we all know, but really the essence is that Yehe Shmei Rabba. What comes before is really just an introduction which crescendos with the statement Yehe Shmei Rabba, may God's name be blessed and honored forever and ever. And then what comes after Yehe Shmei Rabba is simply our slowly but surely, so to speak, letting the air out of the balloon, if you will, coming down, so to speak, from the high of Yehe Shmei Rabba. But really, the essence is Yehe Shmei Rabba. It's interesting that various sources trace the relevance, or the incorporation is a better way of saying it, the incorporation of Kaddish as part of our regular tefillah, most likely to the period at the end of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and not only because we didn't have the Korbanot, but also because the depression, the natural depression of seeing the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the people exiled, was a tremendous challenge to their faith. And therefore the rabbis instituted as a testament and a statement of faith, we nevertheless, despite our difficult circumstances, began publicly declaring God's name is great forever and ever, Yehe Shmei Rabba. So that's how it became part of the regular tefillah. What's really fascinating and mysterious is how this became known as a mourner's prayer. If you look at Kaddish, there's nothing about death or mourning in the actual words. And many, many sources, including Ashkenazic Rishonim, which are then brought down by the Beis Yosef, they all quote this very obscure and clearly very mystical and esoteric medrash that tells us kind of a spooky story about the great Rabbi Akiva, that he sees a man who looks all burnt, like all charcoal black. Turns out he's kind of a ghost. He comes from the afterlife, and he looks to be in terrible distress, and Rabbi Akiva asks him why he looks this bad. Why is he being so badly punished? And the man confesses whatever his sins were in his lifetime, and then Rabbi Akiva says to him, well, isn't there some way you could be forgiven? You could get kapara, you could get atonement. And in fact, this ghost, this man, says to Rabbi Akiva, I heard that if I would have had a son who would say Barchu, who would be the chazan in shul, or who could lead the community in Kaddish, Yehe Shmei Rabba, that would have been a merit. So, however the story goes for that particular man and that particular ghost, spooky and to say the least, nevertheless, this has become brought down through the various halachic sources, as surprising as that may for some to hear, this is really the basis, the earliest source, which connects the idea of children in particular saying Kaddish after the loss of a loved one, particularly a parent, and how that is considered a merit for the parent. The fact that a parent has left over a child who is willing to get up and publicly declare, Yehe Shmei Rabba, God is great, God is amazing, his honor should continue, even though they've just suffered a loss, a traumatic loss of a parent, that itself is not only a great testament to who the child is, but it is a merit to the neshama of the parent that they raised such a child. That's really the metaphysical mechanics as best as I, a non-Kabbalist, could explain it and understand how Kaddish works. The question, therefore, a very fascinating question, which has occupied the minds of many poskim over the last 300 years is this something that's reserved only for sons, as the story in the Medrash is specifically referring to a son, or is it something that would equally apply to daughters? As far as I'm aware, the earliest source on the question is a responsa, a question and answer that was delivered by the Chavos Yair of Yair Bachrach, who was a great gadol who lived in the 17th century. And he had this description of a situation in which a man was about to die. He asked the question, he only had one daughter. He wanted to know if he sponsored a special minyan, and therefore his daughter would be at the minyan, and then after davening, his daughter could say Kaddish, outside of shul, outside of the regular course of davening. And the Chavos Yair says, listen, logically, It totally makes sense. The ability for a daughter to bring a zechus and a kapara for the neshama of the parent is just as powerful and equal to that of a son. Nevertheless, he says, he rules against it. And the reason is because he's worried about the zilzul of Minhagim. It had been hundreds of years that only sons were saying Kaddish, and he's worried that if all of a sudden that practice changed, it would shake the foundations of the notion of tradition, of Mesorah, of Minhag. And it would be like taking the brick out of the basis of the wall. If you pull that one brick out, the whole wall of tradition and Minhag might come tumbling down because of that meta-halachic fear. Therefore, he ruled against. This idea is brought down in other tshuvos in the next 200 years or so, where this is a very common psak, with additional reasons that people are worried that if you allow a woman to say Kaddish, perhaps people will get confused and think that women can count towards the minyan or other such problems. But the premise that theoretically it should make sense for a woman to say Kaddish, that seems to be agreed upon by most poskim, and yet because of these other side or meta halachic concerns, they ruled in the negative. Nevertheless, we do find a minority view, even from a few hundred years ago, who did allow a daughter to say Kaddish in a private ceremony, in a private shul or gathering, private house or gathering, not in the shul, not in the regular davening. In more recent times, we have found both testimony and actual rulings that have been more permissible in even allowing women to say Kaddish in shul. We have oral traditions from a number of Gedolim. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned this, Rav Moshe Feinstein mentioned this. Even the Chavetz Chaim is reported to have said that in Lithuania 100 plus years ago, it was very common for women to come in the back of shul and to say Kaddish at the end of davening. Moreover, in recent years, a number of poskim have definitively ruled that it is permissible for women to say Kaddish, specifically Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who said they should say it from the women's section, but women can say Kaddish. Others have ruled against. They're worried this will lead to part of a feminist rebellion in Orthodoxy. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik very forcefully ruled that we should permit it. Wherever we can allow, we must.